Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is good to be with you on this Wednesday morning. I trust you are having a blessed day. And if you're not, our goal is to help you have a good morning. Good morning, Lindsay. Good to see you. Yeah, a little quiet still during our countdown there. We are still waiting our new countdown music. If you weren't on that live. So Spotify did not like that we were using the song Good Morning for copyright reasons. And even though we have permission, every single time you air an episode, you have to dispute it and show them that you have permission. And when you're doing five shows a week, that gets tiring. So we scrapped the Good Morning song and have somebody producing original countdown music for our Good Morning Live countdown. So we're looking forward to that when it comes in. But for now, it's just a little quiet as we get started. As I said, hopefully you're having a good morning. I'm still battling a little bit of this cold that kind of swept through our house. But every day we all feel a little bit better. It's funny, though, in the mornings, I don't think Sarah and I have said like five words to each other in the morning, because you know when you're getting four kids ready, you're taking all the energy you have, especially when you're not feeling good, to do that. So it's like, I think the only thing we said to each other this morning is before we left, I said, bye, love you. She was like, bye, love you. And that's just how that goes. But we're all getting better day by day. So we're thankful for that. So thank you for your prayers and praying for us and that. A really cool thing has been happening here at the network. For the first time in our five-year history of Pioneer Television Network, we have something that is called bandwidth. And what bandwidth is, it is the amount of power, if you will, that when anyone watches Pioneer Network, Pioneer Channel, any of our platforms, it uses our bandwidth. And the outside company that we have an allotted amount of bandwidth that we pay for each month that they ascribe to Pioneer Network and the Pioneer Channel. And every month that subscription resets. For the first time in our five-year history, the last 2 days, we have run out of bandwidth on the network, which means we have to go in and say, hey, we're willing to pay more. We need more bandwidth. And what it means is that people are watching more now than ever. Last week, we hit record viewership for the Pioneer Channel. And that is just, I don't know what to say. You know, it's one of those things, like, I've never been so excited to pay more money in my life as I am to buy more bandwidth, because it means that people are watching, and we're so excited about that. But I came in again this morning and sat down at the computer and kind of doing my morning checks on the network as I normally do, and we were out again. And so just in 24 hours, we used up everything that we had just purchased the day before. So anyway, we're excited about that. And it just is a testament to what God is doing and you know, how we're connecting with the world and people watching and tuning in. And we're so grateful for that. We never take for granted this, what God has done with this little Lancaster County preacher and this little Lancaster County church, and how God has used our willingness and obedience, even, you know, beyond our education level, and just used it to bring glory to his name and help people. So anyway, we're glad about that, but celebrate that with us, and it's good. So are you ready to hop into today's teaching? We started yesterday talking about listening to a little bit of a teaching from Lou Engle, talking about the power of dreams, and something he said that I heard it on social media and it floored me. And I thought, man, we got to talk about this on the live. But he said that dreams are the last day language of the Holy Spirit. And when he said that, I paused for a second because I thought, was that true? But then right away, I thought of this scripture. This is kind of where we've started. Good morning, Tracy. Good to see you. Good morning, Paula. But Joel chapter 2, verse 28, very, very familiar portion of scripture. Good morning, Haley. Good to see you. But here's where we've been hanging around. And it will be that afterwards, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I think yesterday I was quoting that backwards, but in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit. Prophecy is going to be commonplace, but dreams and visions are going to be restored. So when he said that dreams are the language, is the language of heaven, and he said that dreams are the last day language of the Holy Spirit. Well, right there it is, that in the last day, his spirit will be poured out, prophecy will be restored, and dreams and visions will be restored back to the church. So, and then he said that dreams are a language of heaven. And yesterday I laid out for you in our teaching that through Genesis to Revelation, we see that so clearly laid out that God spoke to people all throughout scripture into the New Testament through dreams. The apostles had visions and dreams. The early church was having visions and dreams. The birth of Jesus was surrounded by visions and dreams. So what I'm challenging us is to not throw dreams off to the side of when we have them, of saying, well, that's just a silly, stupid dream. Well, as we've just laid out in scripture yesterday, and you can go back and watch that broadcast, but what we laid out in scripture is that dreams and visions are a language of heaven, and they are being poured out again in the church in the last day. So I thought, well, how much better for us to talk about this and to help us, you know, kind of differentiate a God dream, a Holy Spirit dream, and I had too much pizza last night, or you know, how do we determine what is a God dream? So what was funny is yesterday we closed the live stream by praying and asking, because another thing that Lou Engel said is what we treat as holy, we attract, right? And what we disregard as non-essential or non-holy, we push away. So when we treat dreams and visions as holy, when we ask God to give us dreams and visions, when we have a notepad by our bed or use our phone as a voice recorder so that we can record the dreams that we have, we're treating that as holy, and we're inviting, saying, God, I'm ready. Speak to me, warn me, convict me, give me direction, whatever you want to do through dreams. I'm here for it, right? It's that law of attraction. We're honoring dreams. We're ready to receive dreams. We have a plan for when we receive dreams. We will see God begin to use visions and dreams to help us. And now, somebody might say, well, I don't want to have God dreams, and I don't want to, you know, have visions and trust that. Well, as I said yesterday, dreams and visions should never be a, especially in the New Testament, because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And that's the primary way God speaks to us. That's the primary way, you know, through his word, through the Holy Spirit. But just as prophecy can enter into your life and confirm something that you have already known, or bring clarity to maybe a decision that you were struggling with, and, you know, word of prophecy comes in and it's like brings, just kind of breaks through that barrier of unknown or not being sure. So a dream or a vision from God can break through and say, okay, that's the way I'm supposed to go. Or, you know what? I wasn't sure about that business deal, but I had a dream. And in that dream, God showed me that this was not the plan for me. And he can bring clarity to situations that we're already praying about. We've already been in tune with the Holy Spirit about. He can bring clarity through visions and dreams to those situations. So I don't know why, if dreams are a language of heaven, why we would not be asking God to, hey, in the scope of my life, I get it wrong so much, right? Like, I try to yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to acknowledge him in all my ways, but sometimes I still get it wrong. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying in tongues. I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm in the Word. I'm praying. I'm fasting when the Lord's asking me to. I'm doing all of the above. why would I not ask God to also use another language of heaven, which is dreams and visions that he has used throughout history, throughout the Bible to speak to his people? Well, I dare say we should, and we should ask for dreams and ask, you know, we read the scripture yesterday that says that we should pursue all spiritual gifts, and that would include dreams and visions. So we ask God to, hey, Lord, if you could speak to me through a dream and vision and give me clarity and insight and wisdom and direction and conviction, then go ahead and do it. But I prefaced yesterday by saying that not every dream is prophetic. Not every dream is from God. So yesterday, we ended the live saying, Lord, speak to us, give us dreams, give us visions, and you know, be ready. So I had a dream last night, and was one of those dreams that even when you wake up and go back to sleep, it continues. But I know that I know it was not a God dream. It was too much cold medicine, I'm sure, kind of dream. But I laughed. I thought, here I'm doing a whole series on dreams and visions, and the first dream I have during this series is not a God dream. But so that's what I want to look at today, is how do we know the difference between a God dream, what we're going to call an emotional dream, or a soul dream. So some different things there. Some dreams are prophetic by nature. They are God-given. They are God-spoken. It is God speaking to you through visions, through dreams in your sleep. But not every dream is prophetic. You will get way off base if you, I had a dream, you know, that the dough man was chasing me or something, and trying to read too much into it and trying to find hidden meanings. And you're going to get yourself way off course with that. Again, it should already be confirming what God is speaking to you. It should already be ministering, you know, with in the realm of what the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't have to dive and search, well, what does dough man mean in a dream on the internet to try to figure out what God said? That's when you're starting to go down that path. I think you're edging on the side of looking a little too far, right? So not every dream is prophetic. Some are soul-driven dreams. Others are warfare. But when it's God speaking, there's, and the only way I can describe this is there's a weight to it. There's a clarity to it. There's a purpose behind it. And that's what I'm saying. If you have to Google search the meaning of, you know, a tree, you know, in a dream and what that means, you know, when God speaks, it's weighty. There's clarity with it. There's purpose behind it. And you just wake up knowing that God, this was a God dream. I may not understand all of it, right? I may not have a full revelation, but I know that this was a God dream. It was clear. It was weighty. There's purpose to it. So learning to discern between prophetic dreams is vital for believers who want to steward revelation wisely. And that's that. You know, so many times I've shied away from preaching about dreams or visions because I have seen so many believers get sidetracked because they have not stewarded revelation wisely in the area of dreams, in the area of prophecy. You know, somebody comes up and gives them a prophetic word, and now they think they're supposed to go out and quit their job and, you know, do whatever, or they're supposed to leave their husband or their, you know, I tell you a story, and I wouldn't say this on a Sunday, but I'll give it to my Good Morning Live people. There was this one time, the church I was pastoring, we had a ladies' luncheon or breakfast, and I wasn't there, but my mom was leading the breakfast for me. And this lady who was a little bit off prophetically, and this is an extreme, but I always love this story, came to and was sitting beside my mom and said, they're in the middle of this, everyone sharing their stories or talking or whatever. And this lady leans over to my mom and says, I know you've been praying for me, kind of with this like deep voice. And my mom was like, well, yeah, I've been praying for all the ladies of our church, of course. And she goes, no, whenever you pray for me, I feel it in my privates. As I said, I wouldn't share this on a church service. And my mom just sat there and was like, excuse me? She's like, I know exactly when you're praying because I feel it there. And my mom just kind of turned. But anyway, this lady then ended up accusing another lady in our church of sleeping with her husband because when she was at a red light, the length of the red light was so, oh Lord, that's right. Let's see. My mom came home, she called me afterwards and said, I am never leading another ladies group for you again. She said, these people are unhinged. And so the same lady, she was at a red light and something about the length of the red light or how it changed or whatever was God speaking to her that this other lady in our church was sleeping with her husband. And like, her husband never even came to our church. Nobody even met the man. So it's like, anyway, I know that's way extreme, but my point is God wants to give us revelation. He wants to speak to us. His desire, his yearning, his aching desires to commune with his children. And he does that by a myriad of ways through the Holy Spirit, through his word, through the gift of prophecy, through dreams and visions. He can speak to us through all of that. But we have to learn to steward revelation wisely. If not, we will get off course and somebody will come in and say, hey, I feel like God's calling you to sell everything you own and go to Mozambique and preach the gospel. Well, if you've been feeling a call to God for missions and to travel and to preach the gospel in Mozambique, well, praise the Lord, he just confirmed it, right? But if that's not been on your radar, come on, we got to steward revelation wisely. And we got to say, well, hey, I appreciate the word, thanks. I'll consider it to the Lord in prayer, right? We got to steward revelation wisely. So when I'm talking about dreams and visions, I've always been hesitant around this subject is because I have seen so many believers say, well, God gave me a dream. I saw, there's a lady who didn't leave our church, but left a church years ago. And she had a dream of sharks going around the tank. And it symbolized in this dream that was the leadership of the church and they were sharks. And man, and it's just like, come on, come on, you know? So we have to steward revelation wisely. So that's why I want to touch on these subjects. So first, I want to start out by reading we read Joel. So let me read 1 John 4:1 that says, beloved, church, disciples, people, beloved, do not believe every spirit, right? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, I also want to preface this by saying is that every prophet, every prophetic person can get it wrong. I don't care how seasoned you are. But we also have to have spaces in our environments for people who are learning spiritual giftings and learning prophecy and learning how to interpret a dream. To sometimes get it wrong, right? So there's this duality here is just because somebody shared a prophetic word with you and it just didn't bear witness with your spirit, let's not run around and tell everybody, oh, that's a false prophet. You know, maybe that prophecy it'll be 20 years from now. You'll be like, hey, remember when so-and-so said that to you 20 years ago? Look, it came to fruition. All right, hey, they were on point. They were just early in the game, right? But on the flip side of that, somebody could be sensing something and they're just seeing it wrong, or it's for another person in the room. But I just say, we just treat it all with kindness. We just treat people with kindness, right? Like people are doing their best to serve God and to hear from God. But we take on the responsibility when somebody shares something with us or has a dream about us or has a prophecy for us, we take on the responsibility of testing that. And that does not necessarily mean that they aren't from God. It could mean that it's just hasn't been revealed to us yet, or it could mean that they're learning or that they were off, but whatever, they have the love of God so much to take the boldness to come and speak to us, right? So let's honor them for that. And then here's what I do. I always have said, you take the word, you take the dream, you take the vision, and you put it on the shelf and say, well, I don't really see that right now. You know, I'm saying this to the person, but you know, between you and the Lord, I don't really see that right now. And it didn't really bear witness with anything that you've been speaking to me, God. So I'm going to put that up there. And if you reveal something to me about that later on, well, great. And if not, thanks, right? So not every vision, not every dream, not every prophecy that is shared to us is from God. And that's what he's saying is, listen, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So I want to give you three different kinds of dreams, or how do I say this, common sources of dreams, how they may enter into our mind. Number one is divine dreams. These are dreams that would be from God. Now, these dreams would carry supernatural weight. They are often very vivid in nature. They are often very symbolic or very instructive. Vivid, symbolic, instructive. They carry supernatural weight. They align with scripture and the character of God. Important, they align with scripture and the character of God. So we got to filter dreams that way. The second source of dreams is what I would call a soul dream. They are dreams that are really from your own mind, will, emotions. They often will reflect emotional processing, stress, or desire. For instance, I've heard, and I've had this myself, but where somebody has died, and you have a dream about that person, and oftentimes in that dream, you see that person, and often you're saying bye or farewell or having a last conversation, if you will, with that person. And many people on the surface will say, well, I saw my Aunt Sue or my, you know, grandpa in a dream last night. He came to me. Well, that's not scriptural, because the Bible says that, you know, we're absent from the body. We're with the Father. We're not appearing in dreams. We're not talking to the dead. That's witchcraft and sorcery. We don't talk to the dead. The dead does not talk to us, right? So, but often those type of dreams will reflect. And let me say this. I feel like those dreams can be healthy at times. And I had a psychologist say that often if somebody has died or passed and you have unresolved emotion and you didn't get to say a final farewell, or there's just that feeling of loss and grief, often your emotions will produce a dream where you are processing that, where you're saying bye or farewell to that person. And that can be a very healing thing, that your emotions are creating a final goodbye, right? But here's where I say is we have to determine that was most likely an emotional soul dream of you processing the grief or the loss of a loved one, and not necessarily a loved one appearing to you in a dream in that way, right? So, and I'm not, God can do anything, but listen, often those type of things are emotional processing stress. You know, you have stress at work, you're overwhelmed, you're full of anxiety, so it wouldn't be abnormal for when you're lying in bed and your body is resting, that your mind still filled with that stress, your soul still filled with that stress, giving you some kind of crazy stress dreams. Like, this is no lie. Ever since I started pastoring when I was 19 year old, I have the same recurring stress dream. It's changed a little bit over the years, but it's always the same. So back when I started pastoring, you know, we used to use the overhead projector to put the words on the wall. And when I started pastoring, I'd always have these dreams that service was getting ready to begin. And I was going through the overhead box where all the slides were for the songs. And I couldn't find the slides that we needed for the service. And I'd be looking at the clock and it's counting down and people are coming. And it's like 10 after and it's time and we're late. And I can't find the songs and there's that panic. Well, if ever pastor, you led a church, or you led anything like a church, you know, or a group of people, you know, there's that pressure and that stress of, is everything together? And, you know, how's it all, you know? And so that dream has changed over the years, where sometimes it's that countdown's happening and I can't get the music to play or the tracks to come on. But it's always the same, where it's service is getting ready to start and we're not ready. And, I don't look at those dreams as a God warning prophetic. I look at those dreams as sometimes I'm stressed out. Sometimes ministry can be stressful. Sometimes I'm bad at time management and don't have things in order. So I find myself in crisis Sunday after Sunday trying to get stuff together. And that is what it is, right? So I don't look at that as divine warning. It's a stress dream. It's my body's way of filtering through the stress of my job. And often soul dreams can be desire dreams. Like, you know, if you're in a season of life or you're believing for a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend, it wouldn't be abnormal to, you know, have a dream that you're dating somebody and you're falling in love. And, you know, but the error is, well, in the dream, he had blonde hair. So, you know, I'm not selling for anybody that doesn't have blonde hair because I had a dream where he had blonde hair. Well, listen, that doesn't necessarily mean that that was a God-given prophetic warning that your soulmate has blonde hair. It was probably a soul dream of a desire of your heart, and your soul produced that dream, right? So it may involve unresolved thoughts or recent events and activities. So we have God dreams, which are divine dreams, God-breathed dreams. We have soul dreams that are from your own mind, your will, your emotions, often characterized by what is happening around you or in your world. And then thirdly, we have demonic dreams, which are dreams literally from the enemy. And they are typically filled with fear, torment, confusion, can be counterfeit or tempting or deceptive in nature. They are meant to distract, to disturb, or to mislead the people of God. So not every dream is sacred, but every dream can be discerned. So whenever I have a dream, the biggest thing before I start diving into, well, what's the meaning of the flower that I saw in the, like, let me try to determine, is this a divine dream, a soul dream, or a demonic dream? Because if it's a demonic dream, I'm not going to spend one more ounce of energy on it. I'm not tolerating it. If it was filled with fear, if it was filled with torment, if I'm being chased or being murdered, you know, that's not divine. That's going to be a demonic dream. I'm not spending another time. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I let that thing go, right? And I'm going to evaluate, is this a soul dream? Like, you know, I had a dream that, you know, like I told you, my dreams of the church starting and I'm not ready. Well, am I stressed out? Do I have a lot going on? You know, if I'm having a dream about my kids, or I have a lot going on with my kids right now, is this a my body and my mind processing the events that are happening in my world? And if it is, well, let's discern that and say, well, Father, you know, like for my dreams, you know, am I not processing stress well? Am I not being great at time management? What is causing me to have these stressful, anxiety-driven dreams about my job? So maybe it's a sign that I need to adjust something. But I take it as a sign because my body is producing that dream. My mind and my spirit and soul are producing that dream, not necessarily that it's a divine God-given dream. Or is this a divine dream from God? Does it carry supernatural weight? Is it vivid? Is it symbolic? Is it instructive? Does it align with scripture and the character of God? And if so, then I'm going to spend a little bit of time. I'm going to write that dream down. I'm going to record it on, you know, the voice memo apps on my phone. So it's something that I can refer to and pray over and consult with the Holy Spirit over and find what is the divine meaning of this dream and how can I walk it out in my life. Hey, good morning, Sharon. Good to see you on our lives. So not every dream is sacred, but every dream can be discerned. Like I told you last night, I had a dream and it was more demonic by nature, you know, being chased and murdered. And like, that's not a God-given dream. So it's filled with fear and torment and confusion. So I wake up and I say, well, either that was too much cough medicine, you know, before I went to bed, or just a demonic dream. And I break that spirit of fear and torment off of me in Jesus' name. And we move forward from it and we don't spend any more time on it. But today, you know, the whole goal of this is how do we determine God dreams and lean into them? So let's look a little bit more real quickly today before I let you go into the characteristics of a prophetic dream. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. So the closer, the more time we spend with the Lord, the more time we spend in prayer, in worship, in reading his word, the more we're going to hear his voice, which means the more we're going to know that dream is God speaking to me. We're going to know that inward knower in our spirit is going to know, hey, that was the voice of God speaking to me. Or we're going to know that wasn't God and move on from it, right? So my sheep hear my voice. Those who follow the shepherd hear his voice. If your life is being dictated by dreams and visions and prophecies, then you are off base. Your life needs to be directed by the Word of God, and your life needs to be directed by the gift of the Holy Spirit, convicting, leading, guiding, and directing us. Then when we have that solid foundation and we know the voice of God, we know how to follow God, then we'll be able to determine, is a prophecy from God or is a dream from God, because we know his voice, right? So, but let me give you some marks real quick of a prophetic dream to help you clarify. As I said, they often have clarity and vividness, colors, emotion. Details are often sharp and memorable. Like you remember, I remember in this dream, it was so clear. It was so crystal clear. I could see. Those are often, the clarity of it is often a marker that it's a God-given dreams. Often you will remember the dream for years to come. You'll remember the dream for years to come. Like, let me give you another example of a dream that I believe was a God dream. And this is a little bit mixing in what I talked to you before, but I remember after my mom had passed and I was going through grief, I remember having a dream. And in the dream, we were riding in a bus together and the bus stopped and she got off the bus. And I remember in the dream being very shocked by that, but she came around to my window, breathed on my window, and it fogged up, as you know, what kind of when you breathe on a window does. And she wrote on the window, "Today belongs to you. Don't forget to laugh." And she walked away, and that was the end of the dream. And I remember in that dream thinking, okay, well, obviously I heard that quote somewhere. I read it and it was just kind of in my subconscious. I looked it up. I could not find that quote anywhere. And so immediately I knew, well, this was prophetic by nature. Now, I know I said that we don't talk to the dead and mom wasn't talking to me, and I didn't take it as a visitation from mom. So let me hear what I'm saying with that. I took it because I remember my prayer. I knew that because we had believed and stood in such faith for her healing, I knew that her death had the power, if I wasn't careful, to sidetrack me in my faith because we had stood for her healing and had believed God. And would bring such essence of confusion and expand my grieving period for years and really get me sidetracked in life. So it wasn't the mom factor. It was what was said to me in the dream. And that was, "Today belongs to you. Don't forget to laugh." And I knew that that was a word from the Lord that says, you can't grieve forever. Today is yours. Rise up, lean back in faith, and enjoy life. Enjoy life. Don't get stuck in a moment. Don't get stuck in a distraction. Don't get stuck in it. And, you know, and obviously you grieve in your own way for as long as you're on this side of heaven, you know, for people who we've lost. But there has to be that moment where we say, I don't understand all that happened. I don't understand why they went home. I don't understand. I won't ever understand it. But the reality is God took them home. I'm here and I have to learn to enjoy today. I have to learn to enjoy life and laugh today and find healing on this side of heaven. And when I get to heaven, I can ask God and we can have all those conversations. So that is a dream I've remembered for years, right? I've remembered for years. So you may have a dream that's clear, has tons of emotions, it's sharp, it's memorable, and you remember it for years. Those are often markers of God dreams. The second thing is there's that divine weight or presence that I talked about. There's just that sense that God was speaking to you, that he was watching you or that he was near. There's this spiritual atmosphere that lingers while you are awake. And man, I could go on forever with this, and I know we're already over time, but I remember going on a trip. This is the last story I share, I promise, to South Africa. And while I was there, I had this dream that we were in warfare and battle, and the whole building was collapsing around our missions team, and all the young people were taken captive into this building. And I went outside and I shouted, and I forget the name. I honestly forget that. I have it written down in one of my journals, but I shouted, "I am," and whatever this weird name was. And it said, and I started to declare that this name, "You are defeated, you're defeated." And I woke up and I was like shaking. I knew I was in the presence of God. I knew that God had spoken to me, like the atmosphere. And I had gotten up and I had gone down, and many, you know, Pastor Barry and Donna Ryan, and I had shared this dream with them. And they were like, oh, that's interesting. But what was more weird is later that day, we had gone to a shopping mall, and the name of the shopping mall was the name that I had was screaming in the dream that was assaulting the young people. And I said to Bill and Anna Hooper, I said, well, what's the name of the shopping mall? And they said, well, that's the name of one of the African gods from back in. Now, listen, this was my first trip to South Africa. I didn't know anything about African gods from previous generations. And I told them about this dream. And anyway, they were kind of like, well, no, that had to do with young people. Anyway, it was one of those moments. What I'm trying to say is it was one of those God dreams. Like, you wake up, I knew I was in the presence of God. I knew God was speaking. There was prophetic significance all over the thing, things that I did not know. Oh, Sharon, yeah, today is the 2-year passing of Kelly's passing. Well, Sharon, we stand with you and we agree with you in prayer as you are prayerfully comforted by the Holy Spirit today, as we still celebrate that Kelly is in glory and full of life, but we pray for you today, you and Dave, and of course, Matt and the girls, as you grieve this anniversary of her leaving us and going into glory. So if we could all just remember Sharon and the family today in prayer, we so love you guys. So they have clarity and vividness, divine weight and presence, and symbolic or hidden meaning. It may include numbers, objects, colors, actions, or speak metaphorically, often in dreams. Often needs interpretation. You can see Daniel and Joseph. Dreams were given. They needed to be interpreted, right? So I think we're going to pick up on the rest of this later. So the network cuts us off at 8:30 because we go on with other programming. So I don't want to get too deep more into this without all of our crew watching us this morning. So we'll pick back up. So I want to do two things. Hey, we want to pray for Dave and Sharon and Matt and the girls as we close out this broadcast today. But also I wanted to pray, as we've been doing, is because again, what we affirm as holy, we draw close to, we pull in. So we're going to pray that God would begin to release prophetic dreams to us and speak to us and give clarity. So first of all, Father, we pray right now for prophetic dreams. We pray and ask that, as you said, that we should desire earnestly spiritual gifts. We pray today that you would begin to speak to us in dreams and visions, that you would help us to be able to discern what is a God dream and what is an earthly dream or a soul dream or a warfare dream, and help us know how to move forward in those dreams and visions. We earnestly ask for prophetic dreams, for you to speak to us and bring clarity into our lives. And Father, today we lift up the Shank and the Weaver families, Lord, as they mark this 2-year anniversary of Kelly's passing, Father, that your love and your grace would continue to surround them and support them and keep them. Lord, we know that your Spirit has keeping power, saving power, and keeping power, that you would keep them strengthened, just as angels came and ministered to Jesus there in the wilderness when he needed it, ministered to Jesus in the garden when he was going through emotional turmoil. Father, we know that angels can be sent to minister to us. So Father, I speak ministering angels over Matt and the girls and Dave and Sharon now in the name of Jesus, that your Spirit would strengthen and keep them, Father, as they mark this anniversary of Kelly's passing, Father. And we pray and we believe that God's best is still ahead for them, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It is so good to be with you. And it's so good. I'm just seeing all the prayer requests coming out to Dave and Sharon. And, you know, that's a part that I love about this Good Morning community, is that, man, when we have prayer requests, we can do that and share and ask for people to pray. So it's so good. Now, one thing I want to do tomorrow on the program is, if you have a dream that you want to share that you believe was prophetic by nature, or just something along this way, email or text me, and we want to bring you on to the program live this week. And we can do this right through your phone. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to leave your car. I can send you a link and it can bring you in, and I can put you on the screen here with us and give you the chance to share maybe a God dream, an example of a God dream, or what you know is a soul dream, or something that you have along these lines. I really want a lot of interaction as we're talking about this. So if you are say, hey, I have something I want to share on this topic, or I want to share a dream that I had and how it spoke to me, you could text me personally if you have my number, email us, or you can even just text the word prayer to 717-500-3575 that's on your screen, and let us know through there. And I will get you a link, and then either tomorrow or Friday, you can hop on with us and we can, you can share your dream or your vision, and you can encourage others of how God is speaking. Amen and amen. Well, be blessed. Thank you so much for being on with us today. Don't forget, prayer tonight at Hope City Church, 6:30. And then Jen is bringing the word tonight as we, I forget if she said we're talking about Ruth or Esther, but one of them, Ruth or Esther, tonight at 7 p.m. for worship and the word. We promise to have you out by 8 o'clock. So I see you tonight, Hope City Church. If not, I see you back on here tomorrow. Don't forget to request that link if you want to hop on the live with me tomorrow. Amen. Go with God and be blessed.